I eat a lot of fish, so it was like a slap in the face when I saw that the New Republic's cover story in its environmental issue last month was headlined, "Aquacalypse Now, the End of Fish." The author Daniel Pauly writes that the fishing industrial complex is depleting the ocean of many types of fish and hurting the world's largest ecosystem. He says this approach to fishing is just not sustainable. And he warns, don't be misled by all the new kinds of fish that have become popular in the past few years. They're actually an example of the larger problem. We invited him to explain. Pauly is a professor at the Fishery Center of the University of British Columbia and the principal investigator of its Sea Around Us project. Daniel Pauly, welcome to Fresh Air. Now, the way you describe it, the fishing fleets, as they deplete one kind of fish, they just move further out to where there's different fish. And they just keep moving further and further out to more remote territories.
Yeah, in deeper waters.
Deeper waters. Okay. So until more and more fish stock are depleted, and eventually there's going to be no new waters to move to, and if we're not careful...
Well, it's not eventually. That was reached at the end of the 80s in the 90s, when industrialist fleet had covered the developing world, the developing countries, and moved to the southern hemisphere and all the way to Antarctica. This was essentially the stop because they couldn't go further. And then they accelerated the descent into the abyss. Now we fish at 1-2 miles depth. And that is the last frontier of fishing.
As you described it, the fishing industry is now hauling in fish that they didn't consider using before, fish that you describe as smaller and uglier, fish that were never before considered fit for human consumption, and they've renamed the fish to make them sound more appetizing than the original names made them sound. Give us some examples of what you mean here.
Well, I mentioned the orange ruffy, which was originally called slime head.
Slime head, okay, that doesn't sound appetizing.
Hackfish is a jawless thing that is eel-like. What is known as Chilean sea bass was originally known as Patagonian toothfish. In fact, it's not only the renaming that you have to do, but the processing has to be done because you would not buy the fish if you saw them. Many of them are so ugly that they don't look like fish, and so they are, the head is chopped off, for example. Monkfish, for example, it's a big mouth with a little body attached to it. And you see them in the market mainly as little body, because otherwise you would think it's a monstrous thing that you cannot eat.
But I have to say, the fish that you mentioned, orange ruffy, Chilean sea bass, monkfish, they're very tasty.
Oh, no problem with that. In fact, the flesh of very old animal in the water is strangely is firm and is white, beautiful fillet, and it's richly fat. Yeah, this is good fish. The problem is that these fish are long lived. If you take orange ruffy, they reach up to 150 years.
Wow!
And
really?
The oldest has been aged that old, and they mature at 30 years.
Wait! I just want to make sure I understand you correctly. You mean each fish lives 150 years?
The one that survive can live up to 150 years. And they become mature, they become adult at 30 years, older than us, twice older than us. So you are eating something that is older than your grandmother.
Wow, so it's going to take a long time for them to replenish.
That's right. In fact, orange ruffy, I essentially cannot replenish because... this is like an old-growth forest. You harvest it, and you have to move on because the replenishment takes too long for any operation. When the orange ruffy craze began in the 80s, lots of countries got into that. New Zealand is the biggest one. And essentially, they harvest seamounts. You know, this is underwater mountains, and at the top of them are full of orange ruffy, and you fish it out, and then you move on to the next seamount. So this is essentially unsustainable, and if an area has been fished out, then that's it.
Now, what about the fast food industry? There's so many like fish sticks and fish nugget kind of products sold in the frozen food compartment of the supermarket and also in fast food restaurants. What kind of fishes are being used for that?
At present, the Alaska Pollack is used in lots of the products that require wet fish. It largely has replaced cod in such product. But Alaska Pollack, as you may know, it's the biggest single species fisheries in the world, except for the Peruvian anchovy, of which more later. And Alaska Pollack, the stock is declining now rapidly. And there will be a problem with the various firms that produce this fish to get white fish of insufficient amount of sufficient quality to maintain this consumption. Also, you must realize that only a few markets have this fish. The U.S. imports 80% of the fish that is consumed in the U.S., so the European Union. In the European Union, the fish is all imported from elsewhere. And elsewhere is mainly Africa and the South Pacific and Antarctica. So our local waters in Europe and in North America are not supplying the markets anymore.
So 80% of the fish we consume in the United States is imported?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's just a lot, indeed. And that's why things that happen in other countries are very important in connection with fish.
So what are some of the ecological changes in the oceans that are being caused by overfishing?
Well, essentially, when you fish a big table fish, like a cod, that cod ate before smaller fish. Now, the smaller fish eat little bug-like animals, zooplankton, which themselves eat algae, macroscopic algae. So you affect the whole chain, because when you remove the cod, the small fish, let's call them herring, proliferate and eat all the zooplankton, the little bug-like things. Now, they are not there anymore to control the algae, and the algae bloom and explode. And you have in many inshore areas, in many areas, explosions of algae, harmful algal blooms, and change in the visibility and the turbidity of the water, which are due to change in the food web of the sea. And these changes are induced by changing one element of that chain that cascades down.
Now, you also mentioned that there's an overpopulation now of jellyfish in some areas. Why is that happening, and what does that mean?
That's one of the changes is brought about, because essentially the big fish, lots of the big fish that we have removed, are specialized feeders on jellyfish. For example, the chum salmon in the Pacific is a specialized feeder on jellyfish. So many species of turtles or marine turtles feed on jellyfish. As this animal are reduced and the abundance are reduced, jellyfish don't have enemies anymore. They also, jellyfish feed on the smaller animals, which become more abundant because the big fish are not there to crop them. So the changes in the food web that are induced by fisheries cause a proliferation of jellyfish. And in some system, in some ecosystem, they come to dominate the food web. And jellyfish can eat the eggs and larvae of fish. So they prevent the re-establishment of the fish.
Wow. Are we going to be eating jellyfish anytime soon because there's so many of them?
Well, that is not a joke. Actually, jellyfish are consumed in East Asia, but this is only certain species. But there we can appreciate some of the stuff that is happening, because actually, in sushi restaurant, you can get jellyfish. In Vancouver, I can go to sushi restaurant and get jellyfish salad. And I suppose that now, with some of them becoming more abundant, there are jellyfish fisheries in the United States. In the Gulf of Mexico, there are jellyfish fisheries that are exporting to China, I guess. And this product will become also available in processed form, perhaps, into the U.S. market. I guess that will happen.
My guest is Daniel Pauly, a professor at the Fisheries Center of the University of British Columbia and the principal investigator of its Sea Around Us project. We'll talk more about the consequences of overfishing after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Daniel Pauly, and he's the principal investigator of the Sea Around Us project at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, where he's also a professor at the Fisheries Center. Let's talk a little bit about how we got to this point. What is it about the way the fisheries catch fish now that have led to such a grand depletion of fish stock?
Because we have in our minds that fisheries as a romantic activity, the bearded fishers that go out and risk his life, and that's very true, to go out and in storms and stuff. But this romantic vision of fisheries is not realistic. This is more a floating factory with underpaid workers who use technology that was developed to fight wars, high technology, that is deployed in a warlike fashion against fish. The technology we use now to locate fish and to catch them, especially to locate them, is technology that was developed to find submarines in the Cold War and in the hot wars in World War II. Sonars, underwater sounding device, now various forms of geo-positioning, GPS, all of these things allow us to locate ourselves relative to the fish with high precision. And so a boat nowadays is full, a fishing boat, a modern fishing boat, is full of electronic to the extent that boggles the mind. It's like a spaceship almost, like an Enterprise. And because it has so much electronic, it becomes very efficient. If you compare it with a boat 100 years ago that had a similar engine, it is 10 times more effective in catching because the searching time is reduced to almost nothing. So in reality, what we have is floating factories which go with military precision to the place where the fish are and remove them.
And what do they remove them with? What do they fish with?
One of the most devastating means of catching fish is with a trawl, a bottom trawl that is a big pocket, a big bag that you drag behind the boat that has an opening in the biggest boat when you could put six jumbo jets beside each other. That's how big the bag is. And it's dragged at the bottom of the sea, and it takes everything that is in there. Everything, including the bottom animals that form reefs and so on, everything is dragged. I've been on such vessel myself when I was a student of fisheries, and is brought up to the on deck. And the fish that you want is kept, and the other ones are rejected, are simply thrown overboard. And I have been operating like this on a German vessel that was fishing cod of Canada in 1973 when I was a student. And that's essentially a form of fishing that has nothing to do with what we think fishery are.
So you're saying that this kind of fishing, it's kind of like cleansing the ocean of fish. I mean, yeah. A lot of fish are thrown back, but like everything alive that's in there is going to come up through the nets in the area where that's being trawled. And So it's easy to see how it would be possible.
Entire areas have been transformed from, if you like, from forest to plowed field.
Daniel Pauly is a professor at the Fisheries Center of the University of British Columbia and the principal investigator of its Sea Around Us project. He wrote the cover story of the New Republic's environmental issue last month. It was titled Aquacalypse Now, The End of Fish. Tomorrow we'll talk with Daniel Pauly about possible solutions to the problem of overfishing, and we'll hear his recommendations of what fish to eat.